Is the Democratic Party taking notes from Communist China? Is the SPLC the new Fahrenheit 451? And who are the real American heroes? This is episode one of another podcast.
Your tears are delicious and your parties die.
I'm telling you, he says what I'm thinking.
You know I'm not messed in libertarians. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. and take back the White House.
Hello, Liberty lovers. Welcome to another podcast. I am your host, Alex Shaw. Thank you for tuning in on the nice occasion that you are listening to a podcast. The drug war continues on, reaching new heights at $24 billion, and that is federally and state combined. This drug war has costed 981,000 people their lives in jail right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the war is getting out of hand, spending too much money, and we're not doing the right thing about it. Midterm elections this season, folks. 96 days for you to learn about your next congressmen, women, and Senate. It's important that you get out and vote. It's important that you get out and learn about who in the heck is going to be making laws over your life. We've got a good show for you guys today, but before we start the show, got to give a shout out to our sponsors at recuro.org. That's recuro.org. Check them out. They're a liberty leaning site. You will love them. Submit your articles, your podcasts, your opinion pieces. Get it over there, ladies and gentlemen, so we could spread liberty. Got plenty of good stuff for you. Hope you guys enjoy the show, and I cannot wait to hear your comments and tell me what you think. It's time to get into our first segment, Flash 5.
Flash 5.
Jeez, what else could the Democrats want? First they want your straws, then they want your guns, and now they want your second born child. I mean, is this really what the Democrats want? It feels sort of kind of like they're following China's ruling Communist Party and going after their 1979 child reform. I mean, this guy, Mr. Scott Wallace, who is running for the 1st Congressional District of Pennsylvania, a millionaire, mind you, is a population control zealot. He believes in taxing families with more than one kid for being, here it comes, irresponsible breeders. Tax increase hikes up for the middle class to about 25-35%, depending on how many kids, more than one, of course, that you are having. And the Democrats, of course, love this. They love this. I mean, he's getting endorsements from Planned Parenthood. He's getting endorsements from the National Organization for Women. He's getting endorsements from every single body. Even the Wallace Global Fund, which is, of course, if you guys didn't know, a population control group. This has been a continued thing with this guy. This guy has given over $7 million over the past 20 years to different groups about population control. I mean, what else could this guy want to do? He sounds kind of Thanos-y, kind of to me. You know, I mean, I don't know if you get that vibe, but I definitely do. And when people ask about this, when people go and ask him at his press conference and in debates, he just kind of smiles. He kind of just shifts off and says nothing. Even his spokesman person for his campaign, they just continue to say that he was for abortion. And that's it. This is a continuing kind of thing that happens on the Democratic side. You know, the progressives continue to want to control you, control your lives, tell you what you can't have. I mean, God, you know what? I'm okay with being an irresponsible breeder. Are you? CNN getting bullied this week. Their chief White House correspondent, Jim Acosta, gave us some live shots at a Trump rally while he was trying to, of course, show the world the real news. He was being booed and heckled and man, it was just bad for him. He couldn't even get a word out without being booed and people telling him to get off the stage because, of course, CNN may be fake news. So after all this, he gave us a nice little tweet. I'll read it for you. Just a sample of a sad scene we faced at the Trump rally in Tampa. I'm very worried that the hostility whipped up by Trump and some in the conservative media will result in somebody getting hurt. We should not treat our fellow Americans this way. The press is not our enemy. My God, ladies and gentlemen, you know what, Jim? Jim, this is directly to you, Jim. I am so sorry that I actually wrote an apology letter for you. Hit it! Dear Jim Acosta, I want to let you know that as an American citizen and a consumer of political news, I've always found your network and those like it to be absolutely terrible. I've never seen a crowd heckle a political commentator or even politicians like the way they heckled you. If you ever need tips or just a little bit of help with fact checking, we're here for you. Here at Another Podcast, we don't like bullies. So like CNN and Fox, we'll just call each other fake news. P.S. I care for you. And a quit your job way. Facebook having problems again this week. Of course, Facebook always getting attacked with different scandals. If it's not a sex scandal, it's an invasion of your privacy scandal. If it's not an invasion of privacy scandal, it has something to do with Facebook losing money and losing people getting involved in Facebook because it's at the top of the poll. But this week, Facebook is talking about 32 accounts and pages that were believed to have been set up to influence the midterm U.S. elections in November. Facebook also said that in total of 290,000 accounts followed at least one of the pages involved. Facebook said that the suspect accounts had also run about 150 ads on Facebook and Instagram, costing about $11,000. Now, everyone is looking towards the Russian hackers. You know, not the Russian government, but the Russian hackers. They're saying that maybe Russia is trying to do it again. They're trying to influence our politics, which they have been influencing our political sphere for a very long time, just as much as America has been influencing other political spheres for a very, very long time. But Facebook has said that the creators of these accounts have gone to greater lengths to hide the identities that they are not a Russian-based campaign. So at this point, they don't know much, but they are still leaning towards that it's more of Russians than anything. They said these new accounts have been using virtual private networks, which some people know as VPNs, to hide their locations, or either using third parties to run their ads on their behalf. The social network even goes as far as to say that they have not found, officially have not found, Russian activity or IP, Russian IPs, you know, internet protocol addresses, because, you know, they're using the VPNs, they're using different ways to try to actually hide these accounts. But they also mentioned that they found one link between one of the accounts and the IRA. And of course, it was disabled super, super fast, but they were able to capture 32 accounts. Now, Facebook, listen, guys, I like Facebook. I don't mind it. It's a place where people go and have a great time. You know, they can go off and do their thing. But at the end of the day, it all goes back to the people reading these news articles. It all goes back to the people who are looking at this information and saying, wow, is this what's really going on in my area, in politics right now? And they don't do the research. But let's go over some of the pages that we found, that Facebook found, because they only released 17. But of course, you know, here at Another Podcast, we always get the exclusives. So let's go down the list of our top six favorite accounts. Number one, we're not the Russians you're looking for. Number two, does someone say avocado? Number three, UUTOFA. What the heck? Uncle Tom's of America. Jesus. Number four, don't fat shame me because I'm already fat. Okay. Number five, if you're brown, you're not a part of Trump Town. Jesus. And number six, Alex's mom. Who the f*** wrote this? Interesting story this week coming out of Nashville. A white lady walking in the middle of the road attempting to flag people down, searching for someone to come help her. Police say that upon arrival, she was slow to respond and had trouble maintaining consciousness and had slurred speech and was initially only able to advise that she's been dumped there. So basically, the police arrive. This lady has been trying to flag people down. And of course, people call the cops and try to get her some help down there. They finally found her after, you know, an hour or two of searching. And now, once this lady is found, they start kind of investigating her and kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Now, Officer Morgan is the one who finds her. And, of course, Timothy Morgan is there and trying to figure out what has been going on. He basically talks to her and figures out that she has been raped and then dumped there. That's what his notes are saying. She said that she admitted that prior to rape, she agreed to perform certain sexual acts with the man in exchange for money. Now, let's kind of talk about prostitution and people using their bodies. You know, I'm okay with folks wanting to use their bodies for money. We do it every day with working. We do it every day when you're, you know, doing 30 shows in 1 week. You know, we strain our bodies. Why can't we not strain it during sex, using it for sex? A lot of people don't like to say that, and I'm okay with it. It's their bodies. It's consent. And as long as it's safe, that's their choice between that person and whoever the customer may be. As long as they're safe and they're cool and it's not rape, then I'm okay with prostitution. But in this case, of course, when this lady has been possibly raped, has been drugged, and needs help, the officer decides to charge her with prostitution after she told him about the horrific story and the horrific night she has been through. Guys, I don't know if you understand how terrible that is. She's looking for help. She understands that she's in trouble, trying her best to wave somebody down. You know, she's trying to make money the best way she can. And, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for her. I'm not going to say that she should go out and do whatever else she wants to do, because it's her life. It's her body. She's an individual. She's not a part of the state sheep. She can do what she needs to do. And she tells the truth while possibly being intoxicated. And matter of fact, they didn't even test her about being intoxicated. They can test you when you're found. They can test you right there at the scene to figure out what's going on. They can swab your mouth for weed. They can give you a blow test, you know, see if you're an alcohol. They can do all these sorts of things, of course, to try to figure out. And they didn't even do it after she got to the jail. They charged her, Officer Morgan, charged her with prostitution due to her admission during the rape disclosure. And now she will be released. She's been released for a pretrial, and she will appear in court on the 17th of August. Guys, I can't tell you how frustrated I am with this and how mad I am at a police officer, someone who is supposed to be helping me, someone who's supposed to be helping anybody in distress, and decides to say, well, since you're under this distress, since you're, you know, You're kind of drugged up, and you admitted to me in the car that you were prostituting and stuff like that, I'm just going to throw the book at you and we're going to send you to court. I don't know why this officer is still on the force. I know people are like, well, that's not that bad, Alex. No, it is. It is bad. It's simply bad when you're supposed to have police officers there to help you and they do crap like this. This is a problem that we have not only in Tennessee, but we have this all around the country. And it's a shame. Democrats at it again, trying to ban certain books. Representative Keith Ellison from Minnesota, the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, recently wrote Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos asking how much money his company has made from selling material linked to hate groups. He demanded that Amazon immediately cease and desist doing business with groups that promote racist violence. So, guys, I get what Mr. Keith is doing, but we can't just ban all books. And one of my main objections to this is that he wants to use the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center. And if you guys know nothing about anything, the Southern Poverty Law Center, one of those institutions that are just absolutely crazy. They don't care about conservative or anything close to the right. They think that, you know, every material that is written by anybody that was in the 1980s and below is pretty much racist, which I find completely dumb. And they just continue to just give out just bad information, terrible fact findings, terrible statistics about anything they put on their website. It's just crazy. And this institution that Keith Ellison wants to use to determine what materials are hate materials or what materials are bad to read for your kids is ridiculous. And unfortunately, the SPLC has been influencing our colleges, has been influencing even public schools. They are influencing so many educational programs that, yeah, I think it's almost better that you just go ahead and homeschool your kids. But I hope Amazon does not bow out, because Amazon has had, in the past, many people complain about some of the books that they sold on their website. They have many complaints about, hey, this material over here is terrible. Hey, this Ron Paul book is completely racist because it has this white guy who wants to take away all my money, and, you know, who wants to take away all my government programs, which, you know, Ron Paul doesn't ever want to take your money. What kind of crap is that? I literally read that online. I was kind of pissed off when I was looking at the reviews of some of the hate materials, and they said that Ron Paul was trying to take their money. I'm like, that is the last guy who's going to try to take your money. He literally is trying to make sure that you keep your money from the government. I don't want to get into it, but I can't believe that Democrats are still attacking and still trying to hop on this rhetoric of banning certain books. I think in order for people to learn about culture, or in order for people to learn about history, in order for people to learn simply just about why it's so bad to be racist, or why it's so bad, you know, to be involved in these hate groups, is to read their materials, is to see where that other person is coming from, why they hate this person, what is their logical reasoning behind hating this person, or doing or being this way. And you can't just hide behind banning books, because when you start banning books, you get into what should we ban? How should we ban them? Why should we ban them? And then you start making this institution, the SPLC, trying to be the determiner of why we should do these things, and it's not right. Let people decide for themselves. We don't need government interference to do that. We don't need government officials to tell us what not to read. We're individuals, folks. You are an individual, folk, and you need to know that you can do whatever you like. You can read whatever you like. Okay, as long as it's not hurting other people, you can read it. Study it. Please, educate yourself, baby.
Flash 5.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. We just got a letter. I wonder who it's from.
Coming to a theater near you. Coming to a theater near you. Coming to a school near you. Coming to a sports stadium, to any public place. These ghost guns are the new wave of American gun violence. You will see them around our streets, in our airports, our train stations. They are undetectable, untraceable. Forget about the TSA guarding the plane that you board. These ghost guns are a menace. The failure to ban them will mean blood on the hands of officials who have that responsibility.
Senator Blumenthal sending us that lovely message about 3D guns. If you guys haven't heard, because you've been living under a rock, 3D guns are now a thing, or what the cool kids like to call it, ghost guns, made by the Defense Distribution. These 3D guns are now available to everyone starting on August 1st. Now, everyone has been getting all anxious and mad, mainly Democrats, because they're so scared that these undetectable guns are being created, and obviously they should be banned. Now, if any Democrat knows anything, or if anybody who's just a very anti-3D gun printer or anti-gun person should know that this is actually, you're able to actually create your own guns. This was done by a 1988 federal law. So you're able to build guns. You're able to make guns as long as you're not selling it, right? Now, everyone is so uppity about how everyone's going to get a 3D printed gun. Now, I don't know many people who have a 3D printer who are able to actually download these blueprints and actually make it that day. Not many people have 3D printers. They're not accessible to, you know, to everybody because they're quite expensive to have. And what exactly are you using it for if you're only making a gun? So there's a lot of different issues with just that part. But when it comes to all this trouble, you know, Cody Wilson is the guy who owns this company. He's a crypto anarchist. And I feel like these people are just going crazy about it over nothing. For one, to build this gun, you have to go out and buy other parts than just the plastic piece that you're going to be printing. You got to buy the handle for one. That's the biggest part of it. You got to buy the handle. That's it. And you still got to go out and actually buy parts for it. And like I said before, you can build your own guns. This is not a new thing. This is not something that's just been happening, you know, that just popped out. Oh, now people are able to make their guns at home. No, people have been making their guns at home for a very, very, very long time. And this is just makes it easier. And it's okay. As long as they're not selling it, they can make their own gun. There's nothing wrong with that. And other claims by Senator Blumenthal that, oh, they're undetectable through X-ray machines, through metal detectors. How stupid can he be? How stupid can he be to get up there and say that? Like the TSA is not going to be able to see or feel a giant freaking plastic gun on your hip. If they can feel a normal gun, if they can feel, you know, a little, you know, butt gun, what makes you think they can't feel a giant hunky plastic gun? Which, by the way, you still need the handle, which has metal in it, which you can't go through a metal detector. I don't know if he knows that. Oh, which, by the way, also can be seen on our X-ray machine as well. Senator Blumenthal's comments on the issue obviously means that he was not well-versed. He was not ready and prepared for this. He was using, oh, there you go, what Republicans and Democrats love to use, fear-mongering. They love to get the population all up in their blue jeans and crazy and just going nuts. And that's exactly what this is. And he's probably sent by somebody. Probably someone told him, go out there, make a fool of yourself, and we'll give you some money. And that's exactly what he did, you know, because they're coming to a theater near you. And you know what? I kind of sit down and imagine, how would those people on the plane, how would a plane be taken down by a plastic gun? Oh God, Mayday, Mayday, we're going down! Oh no! Only if they were able to detect those fucking ghost guns! Yeah, that's probably how it'll be. Thanks guys for tuning in to another podcast. Before I leave you with your thoughts of the week, I have to tell you, I really enjoy making these episodes. I'm glad a lot of you guys reached out to me and decided to, you know, promote me and get me to get back out there in podcasting. And there is more to come, plenty more to come. Lots of things to talk about and a lot of great guests getting ready to come out this season. So guys, thank you for all the support. Thank you for everything you do. Remember that the government does not control you, that you are an individual. You are not just some person placed inside of a group. I wish you guys all the best this week and all the best whatever you're going to do. So good luck, folks, and I'll see you next week.
Pretty secure now, are you, Paul?
You sound funereal, Harvey.
And I sound the way I feel. I'm helping you because you asked me to as a friend, Paul. I can give you efficiency and dedication, but enthusiasm I can't dredge up even to the minutest degree.
No sense of adventure? No wonder at the unknown?
Some wonder. Some inquisitiveness as to how a human being can place himself in such jeopardy, not only with willingness, but with anticipation.
Jeopardy? Harvey, old friend, the jeopardy I face comes in shadow. Yours happens to be much more real. But of the two, there isn't much choice. Did you happen to drink milk this morning, Harvey? What was the strontium-90 content of the glass? And has it occurred to you that the things you've been eating over the last couple of years might be turning your bones into sawdust? Oh, Harvey, speak to me of jeopardy, if you will, but don't make it sound as if I have an exclusive franchise on the calculated risk. You and I both share this dubious distinction with several million of our peers who inhabit the 20th century.
And you don't care for the 20th century?
I do not. I will now tell you as succinctly as possible how I classify the times. We live in a cesspool, a septic tank, a gigantic sewage complex in which runs the dregs, the filth, the misery-laden slop of the race of men, his hatreds, his prejudices, his passions, and his violence. And the keeper of the sewer? Man. He is a scientifically advanced monkey who walks upright and with eyes wide open into an abyss of his own making. His bombs, his fallout, his poisons, his radioactivity, everything he designs as an art for dying is his excuse for living. No, Harvey, we live in an exquisite bedlam, an insanity. Maybe all the more grotesque by the fact that we don't recognize it as insanity.
Did it ever occur to you that some of these scientifically advanced monkeys make bombs as a simple expedient for survival? That across this planet there are other scientifically advanced monkeys who would pulverize us into dust if they thought they could do so with impunity?
I don't need a lesson in current events. I'm pretty well up on the times. So the freedom-loving monkeys make bombs. Well, the aggressors make bombs. But ultimately, somebody pushes a button. And just as ultimately, this Earth disappears. And all of this, I suppose, is right and practical and expedient. A few germs will rise up out of the rubble and wave microscopic flags of victory and shed a few microscopic tears for the race of men. Harvey, are you content with this kind of status quo? Are you satisfied with this kind of 20th century?